The Lord be with you.
And also
a proclamation of the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command to you: love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I believe that if we conducted a poll anywhere, just about everyone agrees that love is wonderful, that we should indeed love one another. But that in itself is entirely insufficient. Why? Because precisely the corruption that Satan has caused in our hearts is that we simply do not understand what love is about. So everybody can speak about love, and everybody is thinking about their own thing. Love is what I like, what I desire. I interpret it according to my way. You see, that was the fall. Satan convinced Adam and Eve that they were to be the supreme judges of what is right and wrong. So we are the judges of what is love. That is fallen man. So the novelty of the gospel, the novelty of Christianity, is divine revelation of love. Jesus doesn't just say love one another, but rather he says, love one another as I have loved you. Now everything changes. And we shall spend our lifetime humbly learning, humbly growing by the gift of the Holy Spirit in understanding and practicing this revelation. In other words, to love means to be one with Christ. He is love incarnate. He reveals to us the love of the Father. Jesus himself is the submissive man, the obedient one, the one that in all things did the will of the Father. He totally surrendered his life unto him, unto the cross. And now he says, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Love, therefore, comes to its fullness of revelation on the cross. Behold the Lord. Let's not believe that we are there. That would be such a terrible act of arrogance to say, I love like Christ. But let us rather, like St. Paul, be aware that we are still under construction, running the race. And the best gift that we can have is the gift of constant conversion, coming more and more to appreciate, to love, to be one with Christ. I think most people want that. But when we then encounter trials and sufferings, we bounce back. We want to love, but we don't want to suffer. True love can only occur when we are capable of suffering for the beloved. When we are capable of forgetting about ourselves, yielding our lives to the Lord, so that we become a gift to the Lord and to our brothers and sisters. So that we can say, who am I? I am a son, a daughter of God, called to surrender my life in love through whatever it may cost, because that is the path of fulfillment. While many other religions find fulfillment in trying to abstain themselves from contact with the world, we know that the only way to fulfillment is to enter into the fullness of love, even through whatever it may take in suffering and trials, to be like Christ. Now, if we go to the first reading, we go to the house of Cornelius, who is a pagan, and he has now come to be open to the Lord. What a great, amazing miracle. And the Jews were amazed that the Holy Spirit was falling upon pagans as well. That indeed, the gift of God is for everyone. And we can see in the scripture how amazed they were when the Jews saw pagans praising God deeply in such a way that they would break into tongues of praise. Now we're coming close to Pentecost. It's the last day of this month. And we need to be with great expectant faith that we too may receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But do you find yourself that you have certain restraints? Sometimes we say, okay, Lord, but I don't want this. And we already tell God what He's supposed to do with us. There are some gifts we want, there's some gifts we don't want. But the Lord says, do as I command you. In other words, obey, trust, believe. Are we willing to be ridiculed, to be persecuted, to make fools of ourselves in front of others for the sake of love? Do we understand what that means? Or are we trying to protect our reputation, our appearance. That is the old man. Those people were so in tune with the Lord that the Holy Spirit broke him into tongues of praise and thanksgiving. And St. Paul says, the gift of tongues is the lesser of the gifts. Imagine, there's so much more the Lord wants to give us. But we need to pray and to believe that the Lord wants to transform us utterly, completely, so that then our love will be so manifest, we will be so capable of breaking all the boundaries that are keeping us away from this amazing love, that the world may take notice and say, look at St. Timothy, how they are one in love. Husbands and wife and their children, the families, and then among each other, the families loving one another, caring for each other and caring for others outside of the parish, giving of themselves. This is not natural. Of course not. It's supernatural. It's the work of God breaking through beyond our expectations. This is what we pray for. Let us beg the Lord, because we're not there yet. Let us beg the Lord for this amazing outpouring of the Spirit to make us more and more capable of loving, not in our own judgment of what love is, but according to what Jesus will reveal to us as He makes us more and more one with Him.